Hello, you beautiful roadmen, and welcome back to another episode of the podcast. Today is a very special episode. It's not the longest episode, but in a lot of ways, it's the most authentic episode. I took some time earlier this week to record my thoughts, and when I started talking, a little bit more than I planned came out, and yeah, I found it tough at times, nearly broke down as I went sort of deep and figured out the real reasons why I was in cycling, and sort of cast my mind back to a time a couple of years ago when I wasn't as happy, and just putting that microscope on myself for once, rather than constantly advising and coaching others, putting the microscope on myself and just for the first time, I suppose, diarying out loud on podcast format what the problem was at the time and how I solved it. It was a pretty unique solution to a very common problem. So I'm going to shut up and I'm going to let you listen to that. I hope you enjoy it. Before I jump into that, I'd just like to give a brief word to our show sponsor, which is Joovv, J-O-O-V-V. Joovv is a near and far infrared light source, which is an essential part of my morning routine. It's become even more essential now with the lockdown at the moment. My routine at the moment, it's jumping up onto Zwift, getting my session done before I even get into the shower. I am 20 minutes on front of the Joovv, standing there just bathing in natural light, a natural light that we can't normally get because of the cloud cover anyway. But the benefits for skin health, for collagen production, for testosterone improvements, and antidepressive properties of this are well documented. The studies are vast and numerous, all from credible sources. That's why I always promised myself I would never shill you anything on this podcast. I would never recommend anything that I didn't absolutely love and use myself. And that's why I've been so long holding off to announce a show sponsor. But I love Joovv. I happily use it every day. And I was a customer long before they were a show sponsor. I chased them hard to get this one. Okay, let's jump into this one.
Until today, I haven't really felt up to sharing this with anyone. I haven't really felt ready to share it with you, the audience. But given all the craziness that's going on in the world, I said, you know what, it's time. It's time for me to let the guard down and just be a little bit vulnerable. So I'm going to start. I'm going to start at the beginning. I was an A3. I wasn't a very good A3. I was actually quite a bad A3. And I had a fork in the road moment. I got a coach. I started doing intervals. I got a little bit faster. Started doing more intervals, I got a little bit faster. I won a race, I got a little bit faster. I got promoted again. Got to A1, got through a Ross, another Ross, a little bit faster, a little bit better. At this stage, I was finished my degree, I was finished my master's, and I was into law school, and I was getting better and better at cycling. I was dedicating more and more hours each week to cycling, and it became my whole life. I became obsessed with the bike. Every minute my face wasn't in the books studying for law school, it was on the bike. I trained 11 p.m. at night. One night I fell asleep on the rollers and went through the coffee table in my parents' house. I was obsessed. I got a contract in France. It was tough out there, but I persevered, kept going. Then I went to Canada, got a contract out there, rode with jet fuel out in Canada, had great fun. Then I moved on to the United States, got my first paid contract. But when I got to the US, I started seeing the dream wasn't for me, that the level of sacrifice that went into the bike, the all-encompassing nature of the bike. I came home, but I was still obsessed. I was still couldn't let it go. I was still 20, 25 hours a week. I was still winning races, podiums every week, and I was still fanatical. Then at the end of 2014, I decided, you know what, it's time to be a grown up. It's time to start launching a career. I was an accidental entrepreneur with A1, but I'd read online that you need multiple sources of income. So I said, you know what, I need to diversify. I need to set up a second company. I need to set up a third company. So I had some companies that I tried and failed, like Pocket Coach, but I had some companies that took off. I bought a cafe. I set up a social media marketing agency. The years were ticking past. I was up to 2018, 2019. I was putting on extra weight, and I was still training like I was before. I was still trying to get in my 15, 20 hours a week. But there was something different going on. I just didn't seem to be responding to the training anymore. I couldn't understand what was happening. I was training like before, but just something wasn't the same. I had low energy every single day. I was waking up and I was tired and I was stressed all the time. And like anyone who knows me, that's not me. I was completely exhausted. But looking back, I was also completely in denial about the sort of shape that I was in. With the benefit of hindsight and looking back now, the hardest part about all that was I was spending virtually no time with my girlfriend. My folks were getting older, and the little I did see of my folks and my girlfriend, it was such poor quality time. I was always just distracted and I was flicking around on my phone. I was a shit person. When I started out riding my bike, looking at Tour de France, looking at Stephen Roach and Sean Kelly, yeah, I dreamed of winning bike races like any kid, but I'm going to be honest with you right now, that wasn't what it was about for me. It was much more personal than that. My dad had an accident when he was in his 20s. He lost his toe. And after he lost his toe, he started putting on a lot of weight. And he went through a big part of his life. This shit's just hard to talk about. And he went through a big part of his life carrying that extra weight. So I grew up seeing the limitations of extra weight, the lifestyle limitations, the stuff he couldn't do. And when I started cycling, I made a promise to myself that that had never happened to me, that I would never put on weight and I would never let weight limit my lifestyle. Maybe that's why I was so unhappy around that period of my life, because I was breaking that promise, you know, that promise that I made to myself, the one I said I'd never break. Oh, I can remember the tipping point so clearly. You know, I'd completely fooled myself. I'd fooled myself and I'd avoided anything that was going to give me a reality check. I just didn't step on a weighing scales. I avoided power meters, lactate tests, threshold tests. And actually, I avoided training partners and group rides, anything that was going to give me a reality check. I showed up for the Tour of Ulster. I can remember everything vividly about that day. I was late getting to the race. I was in a fluster. I didn't have pins for my numbers. I even had to call the organizer and ask him to hold the start of the race for me because I was running late. It was just so uncharacteristic for me. I was absolutely fat as a fool showing up to this, an elite bike race with some of the best bike riders in the country and from the UK. I'm going to fast forward 5 kilometers. I actually went in, I remember an attack going early and thinking, I need to go with that. That could be the move. Now we're going to fast forward 5 kilometers and I'm in the last group on the road. And I'm getting smart comments from guys in the group going, oh my God, I've never been in a group with you before. And I remember just thinking, I wish a hole would open up in the ground and just swallow me. I felt like this big. It's one of the worst feelings I've ever had in cycling. I finished that stage one of a 4-stage race. I was last man on the road. I was cramping all the way in, trying to hold on to that last group. I was humiliated. Across the line to see one of my teammates had won the stage. I paused for a quick photo of my teammates. I faked a smile and then I got into the car and I abandoned the race and I drove home. It was one of the loneliest and most soul-destroying, soul-searching drives of my life, the 3-hour drive home. I have to be honest, driving home, I thought that was it. I was quitting cycling for good. But more than that, I was actually very close to quitting. I was very close to quitting on the vision I had for myself, the vision I had for the type of life that I wanted. I'd never envisaged myself as an overweight guy heading towards middle age, stuffed into Lycra, who rode his bike at the weekend. But that's what I was slipping towards. I remember at the time I used to look at some of my friends, my older friends. They'd come home in the evening, they'd sit in front of the TV, barely say hello to their wife, distracted on their phone, no energy, no libido. And they'd tease me in response and they'd say, yeah, we'll see how much energy you have when you're in the real world, when you're working full time. We'll see how much energy you have for training then. On that drive home, I thought, you know what, maybe they're right. Maybe I just need to stop this fantasy life. I need to grow up, get a real job. Now I was becoming just like them. Was this my fate? I have a friend, a good friend, who's mentored me for the last number of years. I met him the week after the Tour of Ulster and I told him what was happening. If I name drop this guy, you'd know who he was. He mentors some of the top performers in the world and he's built some huge businesses, mad scale businesses. He told me a story about the power of focusing on just one thing. So it was pretty radical, But on his advice, I sold the cafe, I sold the media company, and I put A1 on indefinite pause. I focused on just one thing. He called this the big domino. The one thing that if I could topple this big domino, it would start a chain reaction and every other problem in my life would become inconsequential. So I put my mind to figuring out what the domino problem was. And after much soul searching and evaluation, I came up with my big domino. How could I use cycling as a tool to improve my health, happiness, and longevity? That was it. That was my big domino. Day and night, I put all my energy into it. I traveled the world. I visited China, Dubai, America, all over Europe. I read thousands of books. I attended seminars, workshops. I talked to the best mentors, top performers. I devoted my entire life to this one question, my big domino. Reading through a scientific journal one day, I found one study that would go on to unlock it all for me. This study was about cortisol. Cortisol is the stress hormone. So we produce cortisol in response to training, in response to nutrition, in response to environmental stimulus, in response to light, sound, toxins, in response to a bunch of different things. This one study set me on a path to unlocking this whole big domino, and it changed my life. I built a system for myself. I was using processes like meditation, cold therapy, photobiomodulation units, adapting my training philosophy. I built a series of morning routines and evening routines. When I finally crafted this system, I trialed it on myself and I actually couldn't believe what happened. I went from around 97 kilograms to about 78 kilograms. My threshold power went up from about 300 watts to 390 watts. I was more productive, I was happier, I was energized, libido went up. It was ridiculous. So I set myself the ambitious goal of getting back into cycling after a 2-year break, and I wanted to qualify for the Olympics on the tandem with my buddy Peter Ryan. So I thought, hold on, this can't be real. Like, how is nobody talking about this stuff? Why is nobody using these techniques? I got together what I called a beta group, my biohacked beta group, and I tested this stuff on the guys. I talked them through morning routines, evening routines, cold therapy, light therapy, meditation practices, and it had the exact same effect. It was at that point I said, I have to get back into A1. I have to launch this YouTube channel. This is the real reason I'm back doing YouTube videos. This is the reason I launched the podcast. I want to share this message with you. It's too powerful not to be shared. So my journey has been halted with the coronavirus. The Olympics, it mightn't even be on now. Tokyo might have been my primary journey on this. It might have been my primary goal. But you know, along the way, I figured out something. I figured out that, you know what? It was never about that. It was never about the destination. It's been about the journey. It's been about the learnings I've had along the way. And now my real mission is to teach this stuff to you. Like, I wake up every single morning now with energy, with a focus, productivity. I get more done in a day now than I used to get done in a week. And I'm saying this stuff not to impress you, but to impress upon you that this is possible. I wake every single morning feeling like $1 million.
Oh, I was in a bad way even listening back to that. It's tough. It's real. It's tough. Let me know. Pop me an email. I'm on info@a1coaching.net. Pop me an email if any of you are going through something similar. I'd love to hear it, because I know, as I said at the outset, it was an uncommon solution I had, but I feel like it's a very common problem. I feel like a lot of people are stuck in a rut. I feel like people aren't exactly where they need to be, and that's what I want this podcast and the vlog on YouTube, that's what I want them to be, is your little nudge in the right direction. So I really hope that helped. I'm hoping you enjoyed today's show. It was a difficult one to bring you guys, but it was honest, it was real, and it was me, and I promised you that's what I would always be. Big shout out to Juve, our show sponsor. I'm using them every single morning for their amazing light healing properties. I have a link in the description down below, and I'd strongly advise you to check it out. And if you do check it out, they're hooking everyone up that buys a Juve unit with a free gift of your choice. That on its own is even worth checking out. Can't recommend it highly enough, and I can't thank you deeply enough for devoting me your attention. I will be back again shortly. Love all you out there. Thanks for listening.